welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And you and I have been off the air for a few weeks as we've had other people kind of fill in. So it's good to be back in the seat.
Inmates have been running the asylum, and now the professionals are back, and we have a real show now.
That's right. Let's get into the top story, which is that, of course, last week we were at TechEd North America.
That's right.
And now 100% of the content is available on Channel 9. So hopefully a lot of people have been checking that out already.
Yeah, so there's a ton of sessions. Make sure to sort by breakout so that you actually see, because that's an important point, is they had a number of different types of content that are available, and some of those are things like hands-on labs and so on. You're looking for breakouts, which will be those videos.
Or the foundationals. The foundationals are another type of session, or the
keynote,
that's
a good point.
Yes. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of our favorite talks later on. The other thing to keep in mind is that, of course, TechEd Europe is happening the week after next, and so that all that content will also be online. So I think that's about it.
Yeah, and you know, just to bring up a point, of course, there is TechEd Europe, and of course, Build is happening at the same time as well. So those sessions will be available online as well. So you'll have probably, let's say, I don't know, 600, 800 videos to start watching.
Until the end of the year, you could probably watch a new video every single, or a few new videos a day and not see everything.
Yeah, so good stuff.
I'll be going to TechEd Europe. You're going to Build.
I'm going to Build. I win. I don't know what else to say.
All right.
Not a competition.
All right. So at TechEd North America, there were a lot of announcements that hopefully everyone saw these. We announced that later this year we'll have Visual Studio 2013 and TFS 2013 coming out. Lots of new features we had the opportunity to show. We also announced that at the Build Conference, June 26, we will be releasing a preview of Visual Studio 2013 and TFS 2013, which will have a Go Live license with it, which means that you can, of course, use that in production. The other thing to point out here is that they changed a lot of the licensing for the way that you can use your MSDN benefit on the Azure platform.
Sure.
So if you're doing dev test with Windows Azure, then you can get resources at a substantially reduced cost. You can use a lot of the software from your MSDN benefit as dev test VMs and cloud services. And so it just really opens up Azure to a whole lot of other scenarios that weren't possible before. Other things that that are small but important: per minute billing for VMs.
Right.
So in the past,
you're not rounded up to the hour.
Exactly. And also, you don't get charged for VMs that are shut down. Previously, if you wanted to not be charged for a VM, you would have had to delete that VM, which meant persisting all of the state configuration settings and then being able to rehydrate that later on. Now
exactly.
You can just
like,
shut down.
I have it. It's either on or off now.
Exactly.
So, and only when it's being used, you then get charged.
Yep. And that's perfect for dev test where you are, you know, probably spinning out multiple build tests, you know, VMs multiple times a day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just need to test on this scenario. Maybe it's when you have to support a legacy scenario or a legacy operating system, and I just want somebody to go in. Maybe they're doing manual testing. Test, kill it.
Yep, exactly. So diving deeper a little bit into some of the announcements that we made around Visual Studio 2013 at TechEd North America, Brian Harry and I did a about an hour-long session. This is a foundational session that really takes you through a walk around all the different ALM capabilities that we were talking about. So ALM was our primary focus at TechEd North America for what we were talking about. Certainly there's a lot more features in Visual Studio 2013 that focus on the platform capabilities and building great apps for, you know, Windows, that sort of thing, that we'll be talking about in the Build timeframe. But for now, if you're interested in ALM and interested in seeing the direction we're going there, check that out.
And of course, you're plugging the foundational session that you had done.
You always have to make sure
sure to plug that.
You know, my show, I set the rules. So.
Right.
Also, another question that we had from a lot of people was, will Visual Studio 2013 support the project and solution round tripping that we introduced last year with Visual Studio 2012? And so Brian went back, did some research. The answer is yes. So what that means is that you'll be able to take projects that you open in, say, Visual Studio 2010 SP1, open those in 2012, close them, open them in 2013, close them, go back to 2010. It just makes it a lot easier for you to start to adopt these continuous updates across your team, where some people may be on older releases and some people want to be on the bleeding edge.
Sure, great. Love it. So Scott Gu had a bunch of updates just recently on mobile backend development. And again, these are using Azure Mobile Services. One of the new things is the ability to have a custom API. So what you're doing here, and right now they only support Node.js. .NET support, as Scott said, is coming. But the idea is I can have a custom API, and it's almost like I have a custom web server, if you will.
Okay.
So like in the example, like, hey, I have a request. I can send a hello world back and a response code of 200, for example. Now, obviously, you can do much more than this and actually have that API, that endpoint, either be JSON or some other different type, or integrate with BizTalk services, or a number of different things there. So other things, Git source control supports the notification systems for Node.js, .NET API for NuGet. And a really important one, though, is the free 20 meg database option for mobile services and websites. So for Azure subscribers, you get a free 20 meg SQL database for mobile services and websites. So for Azure websites, now you can actually use this not just for dev and test, actually in production as well. So then the last thing is, if you're building Android applications, they now have the broadcast push notification support. So there's a simple API to be able to click that, get an instance, and basically send that up to Android and broadcast push notifications to Android devices.
Great. Good stuff.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
And so Codeplex this week actually announced that they are now supporting, I don't know if they're using webhooks for this, but the idea is that you can use Codeplex now to, and configure it to talk to a lot of different services out there. So one example is, you know, every time we push a new release, Lits automatically tweet and say that this release is available. Or if you're using Trello cards, you can push that out as part of the commits that you're doing. Campfire, of course, that's a chat room available. We announced TFS has a new team room that's coming online with TFS 2013, so very similar concept there. So really nice to see that Codeplex.
Can you actually spend 2 seconds talking about that team room? For people who didn't see, because it is a really cool feature.
It is. So coming in TFS 2013 on-premises or available today with Team Foundation service in the cloud, you can basically have this persistent chat session. And the idea is that you get both a real-time chat, like, hey, Dan, I just checked in this file. Actually, those types of events can be automated so that when you check in a file or when you kick off a build or when a build breaks, you can automatically have that show up in
the
chat room.
But you can be like, hey, I just saw your check-in. Are you sure we really need to do this?
Exactly.
Or something.
But I think the most, maybe one of the most powerful things about Team Room is that you can catch up. So let's say that you were out over the weekend, a lot of people did a bunch of work, you go back to, you know, the previous weekend and you can see what all the work was that was taking place over the weekend.
Right, it's not just an IM conversation between two people, it's a shared
right
IM.
So it's persistent and real time in that respect. So that's
right.
Coming to TFS 2013.
And are any of these hooks available in Team Foundation service?
So longer term, Brian Harry has said that we want to kind of blend some of the capabilities that are coming to Codeplex and coming to Team Foundation service. But I don't believe that any of the things that you're saying today as part of the Codeplex announcements ties back to Team Foundation service.
Okay, well, so, I mean, maybe you can do something over the weekend and just get that out.
I'll get right on that.
That'd be nice.
Coding for fun.
Yeah, so Coding for Fun Toolkit, this is just a quick and dirty write up by Scott, who had talking about two new features. So one is Superimage, and the idea behind Superimage is it allows you to actually use an ISO store for a background. So if I, for example, save an image to isolated storage, I can basically set the property of that image so I can load it up. And again, this also works because the toolkit works in both phone and Windows Store, so you can use that as well. And the other one is you can actually have it used on different resolutions. So maybe it's sometimes you want to be able to use a 640 by 480 or be able to scale it up, so you can actually set different types there. So you can read about that one. Then the other one is the lock screen preview. And for folks who have seen this before, this is when you're lock screen, there's like a little preview of what your app can send. And, mm-hmm. and basically the idea is, you know, it's like 3 lines of text, for example. And that works in Windows Phone and Windows Store. So it's just a simple, easy tool to be able to use that lock screen.
Great. And once again, you know, it is called the Coding for Fun Toolkit, but I see a lot of people that grab these because there's just a lot of great controls to use regardless of the type of application you're building, whether it's fun or accounting.
Yeah, and to be fair, like even the Twitter application and it's how it was built lists Coding for Fun Toolkit on how it's actually used.
Oh, fantastic.
The official Twitter. So
excellent.
There you go. So kudos to Clinton team.
So this next article talks about how, I think I'm saying this right, Winery is now supported for debugging your HTML5 applications that you would be running, whether it's on a Windows Phone 8 device or Windows Phone 8 emulator. So the idea is that you can add one line of code to your HTML5 application, which then hooks it into the Winery debugger on the back end. And then you basically get the same or similar capabilities to what you would expect from a tool like Page Inspector. So I can look at the DOM that's actually rendering on the Windows Phone 8.
And that's what Winery is, right? So for people not familiar with that.
Right. And so now this plugs into Winery and makes Windows Phone 8 a target platform, if you will, that's capable of working with that. So I can see the way that the DOM is interpreting the HTML5 content that I'm sending it. I can also make tweaks to whether it's the CSS or the page content itself and see those actually show up in real time over on the device. So really great for making sure that your apps rock on Windows Phone.
Absolutely. So a really interesting tutorial series. This is actually, and it was based on some of the knowledge in a workshop that David Rosette is doing with David Katu, who we've talked about before. So what the idea here is, it is a software engine, so it's CPU-based, a 3D software engine in either C# TypeScript or JavaScript. So he walks through, and again, this first tutorial is just the basics. So we are walking through how I basically deal with a vertex and something in an XYZ coordinate space. And these particular examples are using DirectX. So it's like, hey, how do I set up my scene? How do I set up cameras? And I'm setting up points. And how do I basically do the coordinate spaces? Now, the next tutorial also talks about, well, all right, so now I have a series of points. How do I actually draw lines within them, right? Okay. So to be able to connect those points. Or how do I start dealing with triangles and meshes? So for people who are, this is probably one step above, like, I know absolutely nothing about 3D software or 3D meshes. You probably want to have a little bit of knowledge. And then this is the article that goes, hey, wow, so this is how you actually build a little engine that makes this easier.
Yes, matrix math still makes my head hurt, but it seems like if this is something that you're comfortable with and or at least interested in learning.
Yeah, or like you've had at least the makes your head hurt, then you can kind of go from
yes,
there.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome.
Which brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week!
So my pick of the week is our good friend Martin Woodworth did an absolute stellar talk over at TechEd North America last week, and the goal of the talk was to really cover the breadth and depth of source control capabilities with Team Foundation Service, although everything that he showed now, of course, applies to Team Foundation Server 2013. Mm-hmm. And really what we're talking there is the two stories, one for the traditional Team Foundation version control, the centralized version control system, as well as Git now being an option and giving you that DBCS capability. But the thing I like to remind people is that number one, this is just Git. It's not Microsoft's special implementation of Git. So if there's Git tooling or Git processes that you're using, you can hook this up to TFS if you use that as a Git repository. But the other thing we have done is we've allowed you to use Git and still benefit from all the integrated ALM capabilities, like linking this to work items, linking to builds, being able to see the changes that are showing up. So I can be checking in multiple times or committing multiple times on a plane, get back to my desk where I'm actually wired up to my TFS server, and I can sync that with the main TFS repository and maybe link that up with a work item.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate, right? The people that really want Git for the repository, but they also love all the TFS work item tracking and everything else.
Are you implying that that peanut butter and chocolate go well together?
I've
not tried that. Something else I'll try this
Delicious.
Weekend. All right, I trust you.
You're not leaving the room. my pick of the week is actually, this is just, you know, classic coolness, but it's brain-controlled aircraft. So imagine being able to use your brainwaves and I think it has like 45-point sensor, but this is, you know, non-invasive, meaning so they're not cutting holes in your head. But
that's nice. That's always a nice feature.
Yeah, for software, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, we coded it wrong. You're gonna have to walk backwards. All of a sudden, I'm Mrs. Esther House. That's great. They're using Wi-Fi. They have something on, and we've talked about examples like a Motive, which does sort of real basic.
Mm-hmm.
It gets basically you see what the helicopter's doing. They were able to fly, you know, using the helicopter just by using your thoughts.
An emulated helicopter, not an actual helicopter, I hope.
Well, I thought it was a
like a radio
helicopter
controlled?
Or it was also software based too. So
okay, interesting. Looks like an interesting project. Check out, and I think that's it.
All right, sweet.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks.